Behind this apparition, the city loomed with a kind of weird clarity in the darkening day. As Eddie looked past the huddles of brick buildings on the other shore, warehouses long since scooped empty by looters, he had no doubt, and into those shadowy canyons and stone mazes, he understood for the first time how terribly mistaken, how terribly foolish his dreams of hope and help had been. Now he saw the shattered facades and broken roofs. Now he saw the shaggy bird's nests on cornices and in glassless, gaping windows. Now he allowed himself to actually smell the city. And that odor was not of fabulous spices and savory foods of the sort his mother had sometimes brought home from Zabar's, but rather the stink of a mattress that has caught fire, smoldered a while, and then been put out with sewer water. He suddenly understood Ludd. Understood it completely. The grinning pirate who had appeared while their attention was elsewhere was probably as close to a wise old elf as this broken, dying place could provide. Roland pulled his revolver.
"Put it away, McKelly,"
the man in the yellow scarf said, in an accent so thick that the sense of his words was almost lost.
"Put it away, my dear heart. You're a fierce Trim, aye, that's clear, but this time you're outmatched."
14. The newcomer's pants were patched green velvet, and as he stood on the edge of the hole in the bridge, he looked like a buccaneer at the end of his days of plunder, sick, ragged, and still dangerous. "Suppose I choose not to," Roland asked. "Suppose I choose to simply put a bullet through your scrofulous head."
"Then I'll get to hell just enough ahead of ye to hold the door,"
the man in the yellow scarf said, and chuckled chummily. He wiggled the hand he held in the air.
"It's all the same jolly fake men to me, one way or t'other."
Roland guessed that was the truth. The man looked as if he might have a year to live at most, and the last few months of that year would probably be very unpleasant. The oozing sores on his face had nothing to do with radiation. Unless Roland was badly deceived, this man was in the late stages of what the doctors called mandrus and everyone else called whore's blossoms. Facing a dangerous man was always a bad business, but at least one could calculate the odds in such an encounter. When you were facing the dead, however, everything changed.
"Do you know what I've got here, my dear ones?" the pirate asked. "Do you ken what your old friend Gasher just happens to have laid his hands on? It's a grenado, something pretty the old folks left behind, and I've already tipped its cap, for to wear one's cap before the introducting is complete would be very bad manners, so it would."
He cackled happily for a moment, and then his face grew still and grave once more. All humor left it, as if a switch had been turned somewhere in his degenerating brains.
"My finger's all that's holdin' the pin now, dearie. If you shoot me, there's gonna be a very big bang. You and the cunt monkey on your back'll be vaporized. The squint, too, I reckon. The young buck standin' behind you and pointin' that toy pistol in my face might live, but only till he hits the water. And hit it he would, 'cause this bridge has been hangin' by thread these last 40 years, and all it'd take to finish it is one little push. So do you want to put away your iron, or should we all toddle off to hell on the same hand cart?"
Roland briefly considered trying to shoot the object Gasher called a grenado out of his hand, saw how tightly the man was gripping it, and holstered his gun.
"Ah, good," Gasher cried, cheerful once more. "I knew ye was a trig cove just looking at yer. Oh, yes, so I did."
"What do you want?" Roland asked, although he thought he already knew this, too. Gasher raised his free hand and pointed a dirty finger at Jake.
"The squint. Give me the squint, and the rest of you go free."
"Go fuck yourself," Susanna said at once.
"Why not?" the pirate cackled. "Give me a chunk of mirror, and I'll rip it right off and stick it right in. Why not, for all the good it's a-doing me these days? Why, I can't even run water through it without it burns me all the way to the top of my gully wash."
His eyes, which were a strange, calm shade of gray, never left Roland's face.
"What do you say, my good old mate?"
"What happens to the rest of us if I hand over the boy?"
Why, you go on your way without no trouble from us. The man in the yellow head scarf returned promptly. You have the TikTok man's word on that. It comes from his lips to my lips to your ear, so it does. And TikTok's a trade cove, too. It don't break his word once it's been given. I can't say every word nor watch about any pubes you might run into, but you'll have no trouble with the TikTok man's grace.
What the fuck are you saying, Roland? Eddie roared. You're not really thinking about doing it, are you?
Roland didn't look down at Jake, and his lips didn't move as he murmured, I'll keep my promise.
Yes, I know you will.
Then Jake raised his voice and said, Put the gun away, Eddie. I'll decide.
Jake, you're out of your mind.
The pirate cackled cheerily.
Not at all, Cully. You're the one who's lost his mind, if you disbelieve me. At the very least, he'll be safe from the drums with us, won't he? And just think, if I didn't mean what I say, I would have told you to toss your guns overside first thing, easiest thing in the world. But did I? Nay!